KBBS 1450 AM 103.5 FM. Good morning. I'm Brady Safranik, and joining me in studio, Christina Schmidt, Public Information Specialist with Wyoming Game and Fish. Good morning, Christina. Well, we're going to talk about a few different things this morning. First is mule deer captures. There's a mule deer monitoring project. Tell us about that.
There are what we say focal herds, so five focal herds that researchers are looking at around the state, and one of them is in our region, the North Bighorns deer herd. So these, obviously, just the northern end of the Bighorns, but the east and west side. So it covers several hunt areas. Basically this new monitoring project is going to go on for 5 years and taking an intensive look at these herds and the dynamics happening within the herd. So to do that, there's actually several components to it. It's really intensive population surveys, looking at harvest data, habitat, nutrition, disease, survival rates, all these things, and movement is part of it. So we did have captures this past weekend. So captured and fitted GPS collars on 210 deer.
So how do you capture?
So that is contracted out with a professional capture crew. The way they do it is via helicopter, and they what we say net gun. So a net is shot at the animal. They get tied up in it. The helicopter lands. A person hops out. They're able to secure the legs, fit the collar, take blood samples, whatever kind of biological data they need, untangle them, and let them go. They are very professional, very efficient, very good at what they do, very safe with the animals, and
As safe as you can be.
You know, and the nice thing is there are no immobilization drugs involved, because those certainly carry their own risks as well for the animals. So there's none of that.
So that's what makes it safer than tranquilizer darts.
Right. So, you know, there's risks either way, but certainly, you know, this is a good way to do it with an experienced crew like this group. And again, they're very efficient, very safe with the animals. And so fitted 210 collars, and those collars will take movement locations every 2 hours. So going to get some really detailed information on where the animals move and where they spend their time. That fine scale data is actually going to be saved on the collar, on the computer, on the collar that researchers will get at the end of the study. But once a week or so, there'll be kind of a more generalized movement map provided to researchers. So they'll be able to see every few days or so where the animals are moving, which will give them good information on where are some important habitats, what areas do they like to use, what areas are they avoiding, which, you know, again, part of the study then could say, hey, we could do some habitat improvement projects in certain areas and things like that. So lots of good information should come from this study that will really look into the dynamics of these different herds.
And you mentioned it goes on for 5 years. Is this year one? Did it just start?
Correct. Yep. It's a big project. Game and Fish Commission is leading this effort, and really going to get some good information about our mule deer.
And now, so you say they're fitted with collars. So when hunting season comes around, if somebody shoots one that's collared, what do they do with that collar?
So what we ask is these collars are fitted on with bolts and screws, and you can simply undo those and preserve the collar. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't take the time to look and see that it's pretty easy to undo it yourself, and so they cut it, and then we can't reuse it. But if you do harvest an animal that has a collar, unscrew those bolts, give us a call, either bring it in, we'll pick it up, and again, all that data is saved on that collar, so it's really important we get it back. That would be downloaded, and if the collar is still in good shape and it's still early enough in the research project, they would be able to reuse that collar, because obviously there's quite a bit of expense to the technology of these collars. So and we do get some back every year from folks, you know, or sometimes they're hit by a vehicle, something like that, and we get them back. And again, sometimes we can reuse them. So that's what we ask, is folks just not cut it, but just remove it with some tools, get it to us, and really valuable information is on that collar.
Okay. And speaking of hunting, you guys have a hunter education instructor training coming up.
We do. This is for folks who have maybe thought they would like to get involved in teaching hunter education. There is a process to it, of course. All of our instructors are volunteers. This is a volunteer-led program. There are more than 350 instructors in Wyoming, and every year about 5,000 students go through the hunter ed program. So it is definitely robust. We rely on volunteers to help us with these classes. And basically, if you have an interest in it, you can go online under the education link. There's a lot of information about hunter ed as well as how to become an instructor. But essentially, you would fill out an application, a background check is done, and then there's a training over, you know, policies and procedures, you know, things you need to cover in the classroom. It is very specific what needs to be covered. It's a, you know, state law lays out a minimum of 12 hours up to 18 hours. Most of the classes I help with fall about 14 hours. There's a lot of material to cover, but we do provide all the training for that, including already created PowerPoints for you to use and videos and things like that. Make it as easy as possible for folks. But after the policy and procedures training, then we have you mentor with another experienced instructor. So you basically go to a class or two and watch and just see how the material is laid out, how the class flows, get an idea of some of the questions that come from the students. And so we're going to have a training, actually our statewide hunter ed coordinator is going to come, and she's actually going to lead a class. And we do have a group already that are going through the process, and so she will work with them. They can even take a topic and say, hey, I'd like to teach, you know, intro to firearm safety or something like that, just to kind of get their feet wet. And basically, you can see how she lays out the course and all the information that's presented. And she does an amazing job. She's very thorough, does a good job. So if anyone's interested, thinks they might want to do this, you know, it definitely is a time commitment for sure. And, you know, what we're trying to do is get folks partnering in teams of two or three, just to lessen the workload a little bit, make it more fun with these classes, so it's not all on one person to put everything together. So anyways, that's what we'll be doing in February. So if anyone has an interest, thinks this, they want to know more, or yeah, definitely I want to do this, give me a call at the regional office and we can talk more about it.
And then you guys probably starting up quite a few classes right after that time. Don't you do a lot of the classes in the spring and in early summer to try and get them out of the way before hunting season? Because I would imagine most of the volunteers are hunters as well.
Exactly. So our instructors set up classes according to their personal and work schedules. And like you said, in, you know, a lot of them in the summer and fall have their own plans, things they're doing. So a lot of them do tend to be late winter, early spring. I looked just the other day, I didn't see any in our immediate area coming up. Gillette had several running. There's a very experienced group over there, and they have a very set time that they run several classes. So yeah, now would be the time. If you need it or know someone who needs it this fall, definitely start looking now, because the classes do get fewer as hunting season gets closer.
Absolutely. And so then again, do people need to sign up ahead of time?
Yes. Yes. There's a class limit. So, and it will tell you when you go to look at the classes online. Again, if you hit that education link at the top of the page, when you go to our homepage, Hunter Ed is one of the first things that comes up, and you can look at the different classes that are available. It'll tell you, you know, dates, times, location, all of that. And you just make sure, you know, that you'd be able to attend all of the class. you know, again, these usually run several days. You know, the ones that we often do in Sheridan are like a Thursday and Friday night from 5:30 to 8:30, and then all day Saturday. And you do need to come to all of it. You can't skip part of it because you do need to learn each of the different topics. So, yeah, you just take a look, make sure it's something you can attend, and it will tell you right there, you know, there's 35 seats available for the class and 20 are taken. So you would know, oh, I need to get on this pretty quick. There's 15 left. And sometimes they will say it's full, but you can get on a wait list. And I would definitely suggest that. The way the system is set up online is if someone can't make it, when they go in and say, oh, I can't make it, and take their name off the list, it'll automatically populate the next person on the wait list. And if it's you, it'll send you an email, say, hey, space is opened up, you can get into the class now. So even if it's full, definitely get on the wait list, and vice versa, if you signed up for a class and can't make it, please go in, remove your name so we can make space for someone else. Because they do tend to fill up. I would say if you see one that you think you can make, sign up.
Absolutely. And, you know, while we're talking about hunters, the hunter harvest surveys are out. And tell people why it's so important that they fill these out and get them back to you guys.
Well, these are pretty critical pieces of information for our biologists. Every year they go out. Almost everyone who hunts like moose or bear or bighorn sheep, those things with fewer licenses, pretty much everyone will get one of these harvest surveys. For deer, elk, and antelope, because there's thousands of these licenses issued, they just choose a random sample of people to send the harvest survey to. This is a question we get. Someone, you know, people call, hey, I've gotten the survey the last 3 years and I didn't get one this year. That just means your name wasn't randomly chosen this time. But these are sent out every year based on the license that you have, and there's a series of questions basically about your hunt. And essentially we want to know what happened with that license. So we tell people, even if you didn't harvest anything, even if you didn't actually make it out to hunt, all that information is valuable. So it'll basically start you through some questions like, hey, were you able to hunt? And if you weren't, you just say, hey, you know, I wasn't able to get time off this year, just didn't work out, whatever. Then we know, okay, well, that license went out, but wasn't used at all. Then, of course, you may say, well, I hunted 9 days, but I didn't get anything. Again, that's valuable information. And then if you did harvest something, you know, it's going to ask you, you know, what hunt area you were in, and, you know, how many days it took you, were you selective, things like that. And these are all really, really important bits of information for our managers. So if you received one of these surveys, please fill it out and get it back to us.
Speaking of being selective, sometimes that bites hunters. They'll see an elk on day one, but it's not the big one they want, and they'll let it go. And then they won't see another one again.
It happens. It happens. Yeah, for sure.
Super Tag Raffle. It's open now through the end of the month.
Through the end of the month. So the deadline is approaching quickly. So we started this a few years ago. Basically, you can put in purchase raffle tickets for, you know, several of the sought-after species, trophy and big game. So you got bighorn sheep, moose, elk, goat, bison, pronghorn, several of these licenses. And basically, if there will be one winner drawn for each species, and you can buy as many tickets as you want. If you just want to hunt bear, you could throw all your money there. You could spread it out, pronghorn and bear, whatever. And basically, there will be one winner chosen for each of the species offered. And if you are the person chosen, you do still have to purchase your license, but you essentially, one, are guaranteed a license, but two, you get to use it pretty much anywhere in the state.
That's pretty nice.
It's pretty amazing opportunity. Yeah, for sure. There's a few restrictions, I think, you know, and like moose and bighorn sheep that have very, very few licenses issued. I think there's a couple exemptions for those hunt areas. But for the most part, you get a real incredible opportunity to hunt pretty much
sort
anywhere.
Of a VIP pass.
Right. So you would choose, again, you know, the hunt area and the season, date dates that would work for you. And then there is what we call a trifecta, and one person will be chosen for that, and you get three species from that list. So that's when you clear your calendar, and that's what you're doing for the fall, right? If you get those three. In fact, there was a local gentleman who got one of these tags, and it was really great to hear his story about how a lot of the fun part of it was, yeah, where can I go and get an animal, but country I might not ever have a reason to go into, you know, except that I have this license that lets me do it. So pretty incredible opportunity for sure.
Do you know if that person got one of each?
I'm not sure what the success was.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see those numbers, the guys that get the trifecta.
Yeah.
You know, how many times they actually get one of each of the animals.
One of each. Yeah, and there are several stories on our website. If you go to the website, you can read through several people's stories. And this is open to residents and non-residents. You can purchase as many tickets as you want. The basic raffle tickets are $10 each. The trifecta tickets are $30 each. You can't purchase these at a licensed selling agent. You do have to do it through the Game and Fish website. So head there. You can purchase your tickets. They're going to announce winners right about February 15th. So that hopefully gives people plenty of time to, you know, spend the summer thinking about where they want to use
these. Save up those vacation days.
Save up the vacation days, yeah. And all the money gets reinvested back into the wildlife resource. So that's what the really great thing is with this program. Last year, I think it was $1.6 million. And,
wow.
And it all comes back into the fund to help fund, you know, research and management priorities.
So at $10 and $30 a ticket, people are buying a lot of tickets.
They are, yeah. It's become very successful, I think it started in 2016, so okay. You know, there's a few years behind it now where folks are kind of familiar with what kind of opportunity this provides.
Do you know if you get as many non-resident as resident applications for this, or tickets purchased for this?
I'm not sure what that breakdown is.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I would imagine most of the people in state, you know, that want to hunt big game, you know, at least buy one ticket, take their shot.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it seems that every year we do get a mix of residents and non-residents between all of those species. Yeah, certainly it's a pretty cool program. It's been very well received.
I'm sure Wyomingites love it when a non-resident wins it. We're talking with Christina Schmidt, public information specialist with Wyoming Game and Fish. Christina, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And everybody keep those radio dials right here, KBBS.